I am your host, William Grant. I have been running a solar company here in Peoria for 6 years, and we have helped thousands of people go solar. I've been in the industry for going on 12 years now.
My name is Austin Baer. I'm your co-host here at the Solar Power Hour. I'm your local solar consultant here from Peoria. I've been in this industry for going on about 5 years. I've had the pleasure of helping a little over 400 families go solar here in the local community.
Welcome to the Solar Power Hour. I have a dear friend here, Ben Wilson, also a young entrepreneur in the Peoria community, runs Wilson Services. I'll let you do an introduction for yourself there, Ben.
Yeah, so as he said, I'm Ben Wilson. I own Wilson Services of Central Illinois. Been mowing grass since I was 9 years old in the parents' neighborhood, and just kept expanding. Mm-hmm. And, you know, here 17 years later at 28, we're pretty decent size grounds maintenance, landscape, snow, building maintenance, interior plants, holiday decor, athletic field maintenance, weed control, specialty projects, kind of do a little bit of everything.
That's a whole lot of services.
It sure is.
Yeah, man. So you're up to 44 employees now. That's super impressive. All benefits, full-time, part-time. It's a wild world out there. So what inspired you to be an entrepreneur? Like, what got you into business?
Well, I think everything comes with a little bit of progression. I always loved being outside. I always loved numbers and, you know, kind of pushing the envelope of things. Mm-hmm. So naturally, I was that kid that, like a lot of people were, you got out and start mowing grass in your parents' neighborhood and see if you can make a few dollars to go buy that next hobby or toy that you want. And for me, it just progressed further and further. Through high school, I just took it to the next level, figured out I really enjoy business, yeah. Kind of enjoy the challenges of it, mm-hmm. and the opportunities you get with being an entrepreneur and kind of paving my own way. Mm-hmm. And so just kept putting one foot in front of the other, and now we're here.
Yeah, man. So how many years have you actually been in business?
So I incorporated in 2015 when I turned 18 to officially do it. So this is actually year 10.
Wow. That's super impressive. You don't see that very often, especially that age. That's so awesome. Any mentors or any guidance you got from someone?
Yeah, I would say, fortunately, my brain is like a sponge sometimes, unfortunately.
Oh, yeah, for sure.
But I had a lot of good local business mentors, family friends that ran businesses. Some of them ran them well, some of them didn't run them so well. So I guess you learn what to do and what not to do. Yeah. Throughout my high school years, and you know, I stayed around here and got my degree online from DeVry in a couple of years. So you know, just again, actively figuring it out. That's a lot of it.
Yeah, man, I feel that. Yeah, it's one of those things where, especially in our industry, you see the bad apples, you see what bad solar companies are doing very quickly, and it's, you know, it's okay, let's not do that. Let's try to take care of people and do it the right way. And you guys have grown. I mean, your name's everywhere on the Dozer stadium, everything, man. Like, you guys are really putting in the work. And I didn't realize it was 10 years in business, man. That's congratulations.
Thank
Starting
you.
At 18, I went to college and got the engineering degree. And then after that, it was like 22. But I thought I started too young, man.
Yeah, I've been doing this a while. But yeah, you're exactly right. You know, there's a lot of bad apples that sometimes take more space than they should in the community and puts bad taste in people's mouth. And we really try and do the opposite, right? Mm-hmm. Community involvement, community engagement. I've said it before on a variety of things. At the end of the day, this is where we live, work, and play. And mm-hmm. If we didn't have the community, we wouldn't be here.
Absolutely.
So
yeah, they have that whole expression, you know, if it plays in Peoria. And it's so cool to have a business and be respected and revered in the community. You know, it's not something that a lot of people can say. Peoria is a hard market to tap into, and it's a hard market to dominate. Everybody in this community knows each other. We're like, yeah, one person disconnected from literally everybody. Yep. So you gotta, you know, play by the rules and also just do right by people. You know, reputation's everything out here.
Yeah, I've always said, you know, the one trend I've noticed, which is kind of unfortunate, is there's a lot of outside companies coming in and buying out some of the old time businesses in Peoria, or some of the well-established businesses are closing down or retiring out. There's not, it's not our generation. There's not as many taking businesses over. I joke, I usually get an offer or two every couple of weeks, it seems like, to buy somebody
Oh,
out.
absolutely, man. Emails galore.
Yeah. We're in the process of two more buyouts right now. But it's really cool to see, you know, the community also rally around young entrepreneurs like us.
Absolutely.
But you're 100% right. Peoria is a unique market, and I tell everybody that. Mm-hmm. And it's all about the people, and you have to be about the people.
Absolutely. Yeah, and unfortunately, so with Wilson Services and Landscaping and with solar, it's unfortunate that solar has so much ignorance and everything else around it. So like if you do a good job by somebody, they're like, Wilson Services is great, it's landscaping. Or if you have a bad landscaper, you're like, that guy's the worst. But it's not landscaping in general is bad. Like with us, it's like solar is bad.
Yeah, it's like, you got a whole nother challenge on top of it.
God, just everybody just chill out.
Yeah.
We're here to help. But man, there's just so many misconceptions around it. It just blows my mind.
Yeah. Well, like we were talking a little earlier, you know, it's when you're, it seems like you're constantly battling either misconceptions or what's true or not true, you know, and like you said, reputation in Peoria is huge. So you're constantly trying to make sure that, that what information out there is true is actually true, you know, and if there is false information, you got to correct it. And luckily, though, Peoria, everybody knows everybody. So usually the truth comes out one way or another.
Absolutely. We get a ton of referrals, man. I mean, that's pretty much the backbone of our business nowadays, is just because of that reputation. And there's just so much crap out there about solar and other companies. And just taking advantage of people is the worst, especially when there's locked in like 30-year lease agreements.
Yep.
Like you just screwed somebody over for literally most of their life.
Yep.
It's like, holy crap, don't do that.
Yeah. Well, and you're... you're so spot on with that. And referrals are, I probably can track 95% of our business revenue back to, you know, the start, right? Where it started, and you just kept building that tree of people, which is great. Yeah, you guys have a whole other challenge than what we deal with.
Yeah, man. Drive me a little crazy. It always does, but it's the world I signed up for, you know, and it's just hard work and dedication. And yeah, our whole thing for the last 5 years has been to make sure that solar has a good reputation in Central Illinois. This year we had to change our mission statement to repair the reputation of solar in Central Illinois. And it's unfortunately just because of those bad apples and education. And I imagine you guys do a lot of education as well. And we were talking a little bit about how it sucks when you have to explain yourself or your processes to literally anybody, whether it be somebody from a charity coming and asking for more money or a client trying to figure out why you're charging them, what you're charging them. And it's like, okay, well, this is everything we do, and we do it the right way, by the books, everybody's legal. And it's just, I can imagine there's a lot of the challenges that you face on the day to day.
Yeah, there is. And I take it back to the people and you know, what you put out there as a company, as an owner. Right. I tell our admin staff all the time, my number one priority is we take care of our people. So everyone that works for us, we want to take care of at the highest level, the most respected, well taken care of, you know, benefits, full packages. We treat everybody like family, you know, we're there for each other. Because then that trickles down to the second priority of, you know, our customers, our vendors. If we're treating our people with respect, our people will treat our vendor network, our customers, the people they come in contact with. And I, you know, I always joke, you know, that my third priority is we obviously got to make money because in order to stay in business and keep doing good, we got to make money. But at the end of the day, if you do number one and number two right, number three will come.
Absolutely. So how's employment going lately? Have you faced any challenges over the years?
We've been very fortunate. To have the right people come at the right time. I always say, you know, that's not without back end effort, right? Reputation leads to a lot. Personal referrals get us a lot of people. This summer was a little challenging at some points. We had some people call it upgrade their job, right? They went from mowing to construction or something of that nature, which is always great to see, right? But then you create gaps and finding people. But right now there's a wait list to actually work with us.
Wish I had that problem.
Yeah. So that's always, you know, you try and get everybody on board. That's what's really enabled us to grow at the rate we've grown is
awesome, man.
We just try to keep creating opportunities.
Yeah, we face challenges on the sales side. You know, when you're trying to get these young kids to go either talk to people door to door or just be good at networking, the interpersonal skills is very hard to find. And also, I feel like the older generation is kind of retiring out from electrical contracting. And so there's these guys that we keep getting in that are applying. They have like 1 or 2 years of solar or electrical experience. And they're like, oh, I want $45 an hour. I want $50 an hour. And I'm like, what is happening?
Yeah.
It blows my mind what some people think. And yeah, it's just nuts.
Yeah. It's a very wild world. I feel like there's a big gap, right? You know, and like I said, I get quite a few offers, as you mentioned, you do too, to buy out these generational businesses that don't have family taking them over. There's no one else in line, and they're retiring out of these service businesses or these trades, and there's not the experience, there's not the tenure, there's not the dedication, and you know, the, like you said, the handful of people coming up through the ranks, you're sitting going, man, I wish I was making that or could offer that, you know. But I'll be very curious to see what happens in the next few years. Just with the labor pool, and then, you know, we're 5 years out from COVID, right? Mm-hmm. And what does it look like 10 years out when the kids that were entering high school at that time are now entering the workforce?
I haven't thought about that, but that's pretty insane. Yeah, it's so crazy that we can market to COVID. Like, this virus just set everybody inside, and it's like a big reset of especially the interpersonal skills, man. It's just wild how some people hold themselves nowadays. And I give you credit. Every time I run into anybody from Wilson Services, man, they're always super respectful, like young men typically, and just awesome to see that you have that culture. And we have, you know, at our event yesterday that we had all of our team, our installers, everybody else, and it's cool to have that family environment. But sometimes it can kind of backfire too, you know, and I'm sure you learned your lessons over the years, but you know, some people, when they consider family, they don't have the best intentions at heart, you know. You get taken advantage of every now and then.
Yep. It's hard not to have a chip on your shoulder sometimes, or, you know, constantly in the back of your mind thinking about things. You know, you hope for the best, you plan for the worst, and usually you fall somewhere in between.
Ain't that the truth? Wise words of wisdom.
Yeah. But it's every day is a new day. That's what I say. You know, I learned something new. There's a new challenge, a new opportunity. One thing we've started to do is get into the high schools, actually. A lot of high schools are bringing back work programs, and we've tested, we've been very actively involved with Washington High School, gotten a couple from there, and it's been working really well. And, you know, my hope is to see those programs continue, because they're working to supply, build, and staff, our industries, with the next generation.
That's very true. And I'm glad that that's coming back, because I feel like we need it now more than ever. It seems like our whole generation was taught to go to college, go get a job behind a computer desk or whatever. And so the trades are just dying off. It's like we have these, you know, 60-year-old electricians who are retiring. And then now we have like 20-something-year-olds that aren't getting taught from them. You know, there's such a deficit in the trades nowadays. And it's scary to consider. And we just keep growing as a population. So we need more trades, if anything.
Yep. Well, and also the infrastructure in a lot of these places is aging. So it requires more maintenance in the trades. You know, when you think about when Peoria was built, when downtown Peoria was built, when a lot of those buildings were constructed.
Oh, yeah.
It's not that long ago in the grand scheme of things. And so now all these buildings are coming up on, you know, maybe their 70, 80-year mark, you know. A lot of places that were built in the 70s, 80s, those construction methods were not exactly what they used to be, right? We say things are bad now, you know. So we need more people who know how to fix things.
That's very true. I mean, I got that place at the Twin Towers, and it is a freaking nightmare to get somebody to work on that thing.
Yep.
Because it's just no one knows how to work on it, or they're not willing to try something different and give it their all. Yep. And it's just nuts. Like, trying to get the windows resealed has been like pulling teeth. Been 3 years into it, still haven't gotten done. Because it's the highest point in 160 miles or whatever.
Yeah.
So nobody wants to get up there.
Yeah, you're way up there. Way up there.
It's like, shit.
Yeah, I don't know. I mean, it's we're in the replacement culture, I feel like. You know, something breaks, you just replace it with something new. One of the companies that we're actively looking at acquiring is kind of in the, I'll call it the appliance world, and how things are built now, how they're repaired now versus how they used to be built and how they used to be repaired. Nowadays, if something breaks, you basically, you're either replacing a whole panel or just the entire, you know, appliance. It's just,
like it used to be upholstery places where you get your couch redone or whatever. And I used to, you know, that TV repair shop that's in front of Sugar. That's long gone now. It's just, we don't take care of anything anymore. Just such a, you know, consumable market that we're a consumable country that we live in now. It's wild to think. Probably got to thank Amazon a little bit for that. Just 2 seconds later, you can just order it.
Yeah. Well, that's what we have a the American Heart Association Heart Ball is this Friday, and
I'm so excited for that.
Are you going?
Oh yeah.
Oh yeah. You'll every be there. Year. I'm on the board, so I'll be awesome. There. But we had to add a couple last minute people to our table to replace a couple people, and they're like, "Oh, I need to get a dress," and you know, it's what, we're 2 days out, and you know, I'll just order it online and it'll be here tomorrow. And, you know, gone are the days, I guess, of going to the store and.
I know.
Them in stores having the inventory, right? I mean, to actually, when you need something, to show up there and they don't have to order it, you know. I just feel like it's everything's made to order now.
And it goes back to like the interpersonal stuff, right? So like whenever you're going to a store and buying something, you're talking to someone, you're getting educated on their product, you're having a conversation. But now everybody just does it on their phone. It's, we're getting so clicky and family, like everybody just talks to their four or five people. It's like new friends aren't as common as they used to be. And that's why I'm very thankful that we do what we do. Cause like, whether it be Chamber of Commerce or these events, like we're actively trying to meet people in the community and how can we support you? How can you support us kind of thing? And it's,
yeah. And I love how you guys have gone about that, that you go to events and you see your tents, you see your guys. And like you said, you're out there because I feel like there's a, you know, without getting too deep, but like we as people like those interactions. We kind of long for that human interaction, and people want more of that, especially after COVID. But our lovely phones suck us back in. You know, it's always a, you ever do the challenge of you go to dinner with a bunch of friends and you stack your phones in the middle of the table and whoever picks it up first, right? I mean, how hard is that to, you know,
not do,
to disconnect? You know, you might do that, but how much of that dinner are you thinking about your phone being there, right? Versus being present in those conversations. And I'm guilty of it too. I mean,
oh yeah,
as a business owner, I mean, my phone goes off a million times a day, I feel like.
I know. Some days are worse than others.
Yeah. I joke that I just want to throw it in the Illinois River some days, but
that's hilarious. I say the same shit all the time. I'm like, I just want to throw it off the Twin Towers, man. I'm like, I'm so tired of this thing.
Then I'm done. I'm not going to think about it. You know, and I mean, we're sitting here now and it does pop in my mind like, okay, after I get out of this, we'll see how many emails or texts. And it's, I think it's really good to make those pointed disconnects, you know, and then on the flip side of that, those pointed connections, right? Meeting people, shaking hands, don't just text or email, call them, show up to their place, visit them, give them a gift. Like,
I know, right? That's, it seems simple.
It seems simple, but boy, oh boy, it's been lost.
Oh, yeah. And we have clients, and no offense to them, but like, there's just, solar, it's any walk of life, really, but usually like upper middle, upper lower class, or, you know, lower middle class, or higher middle class. And just the variety of people you get and what they want and desire, and just how they treat a company that's trying to service them. It, sometimes it blows my mind what people ask for and just want to get favors. We had somebody recently who, because of the tax credit ending at the end of the year, they wanted to pay extra to get skipped to the front of the line so they could get installed before the tax credit. I'm like, there is absolutely no shot that you're ever going to be able to get that. And I'm like, this is not how we operate. You know, people that are respectful and, you know, did it at the right time are now on a queue. We're not just going to skip somebody ahead. That's just wild to think that you could just try to buy your way through something like that. But it'll probably work with some other solar company.
Yeah. Know? Oh, definitely. Well, and I've, you know, I've said it before and I'm a big proponent of, not every customer is right for us. And there are customers that we don't do business with because we have our values and our core values that we operate by. And, sometimes that just doesn't fit everybody, you know, and that's, we're not going to bend our values or bend the way we do it, to fit that one customer.
I know. And we've had to do that a few times too, because like with us, we're married to them for 30 years. Like we have 30-year warranties on everything. Yeah. Like that's no joke to have that long of a relationship with someone. So it's, we really do want the best for people, but you know, that's still, and I think everybody after, you know, the first year or so, they're like, okay, this works. And everybody calms down a little bit, but man, it's always that first year. Okay. My power bill looks like this, 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 and you just end up explaining stuff over and over and over again. You know, same conversation it feels like for the last 6 years.
Yeah. Yep. It can get very repetitive.
And then also we got, you know, all the material costs are going through the roof. It's
Yeah.
freaking crazy what's happening with inflation. Are you finding that anybody, like people aren't being able to afford landscaping like they used to?
Yeah, we've obviously we deal with everybody. I joke from, you know, your grandma down the street with her small lot all the way up to the biggest companies in the area with Caterpillar and OSF. So we see, you know, the full gauntlet of customers, income levels. I feel like there has been a little bit of a scale back. But then on the flip side, I mean, we've done a few very large landscape projects this year. That's why we kind of diversify between residential and commercial, because it always seems like if one's down, the other's up, and if the other's down, the other is up.
They got more time to think about getting somebody else or
Yeah, exactly. So, you know, I would say there has been in my world, what I've seen this year, a scale back in the spending. We'll kind of see what happens going into next year. The biggest thing that we've found, though, and the biggest advantage, like we were talking about challenges and opportunities, is a lot of people have trouble finding someone who will come out, give them a bid, show up, and do it.
I know,
So
isn't that
we land, you know, our closing rate is exceptionally high
crazy?
because we're usually the first one to come out and take a look at it, the first one to get you the bid back, and the first one who can get you on the schedule. We were waiting this one customer, they wanted two bids no matter what. And the project's been on hold for a month because they can't get somebody to give them a second bid.
Shouldn't that just be a sign?
Yeah, that's what we literally said. Our account rep went out there and was like, listen, you know, we're nearing the end of the year. Like, we only have so much time to do landscape work, and you know, we're booked out a few weeks. So if you want to get this done, like, we got to get this signed in. And I'm sorry that, you know, this company hasn't given you a bid for the last month and a half, but we'd love to move forward with it, you know, and we're pretty reasonable price. Like, we lay it all out there so they can see. But yeah, it's just
That's wild.
those scenarios, you know, that I'm seeing, right, is how many people can afford it, but then how many people are actually doing the work. And I don't feel like that supply demand tug has tipped over where we're not filling the schedule because of price.
Yeah, that's a good point. And it's the same thing. I think with us, with everything gets super expensive, like the power rates went up and everything, like whatnot. But that just, it's unfortunate because when you get to that pain point, a lot of people are overextended. I think some people nice houses and whatnot, but we probably lost like 2.5 million in revenue this year just because of failed credits. It's people are just getting overextended and it's very scary. And then that, and also our cost has to be adjusted coming in the next year just because of the material, man. All the electrical equipment, solar panels, everything is just getting so dang expensive. And we're talking about insurance too. Man, it's freaking wild.
I mean, we've seen that, you know. You talk about overextension, right? I watch the industry indicators of, you know, how many people are behind on mortgage payments right now? How many people are behind on credit card payments? What's the overall credit card debt of the country?
What's the price of eggs?
What's the price of, you know, you can see some market trends, and you know, I don't have a crystal ball, right? But you're right. You can see, like, okay, there are people that are clearly getting overextended, or you know, they're being stretched to the max of take home pay versus expenses, and how much they're actually able to save, and what all those factors look like. And that definitely, you know, sways some of my business decisions slightly. You know, of what how aggressive we're going to be. But you go to the cost of materials. A gas powered mower before COVID for us was maybe in the $8,000 range, like our zero turns. Now they're in the $16,000-$17,000 range. You look at the electric mowers that have really started to enter the market. and they're $30,000 to $34,000 in retail.
That used to be a car.
Yeah. Well, that's what we joke about it sometimes. Like our fertilizer spreader that sits in our shop is was more expensive than our Mustang Mach-E that we bought. You know, and you're like, what on earth? You know, and when people ask, well, why can't you mow my yard for $30 anymore? Well, you know,
all of the above. It's
and then, like you said, with insurance, everything's getting more expensive.
Mm-hmm.
So the cost to replace everything is that much more expensive. So then your insurance is that much more expensive. Mm-hmm. And the insurance industry, which you might even be able to speak to more of, is they still are labeling, you know, the electric cars, the electric mowers, they're mm-hmm. putting them at a higher risk classification than, you know, the gas counterparts.
Which is wild. You know, it's even my girlfriend, she's super, like when I first met her and I have a Tesla and she's like, oh, I don't want to ride in a Tesla. They kind of scare me. I'm like, because you saw one car on fire. And I'm like, you know how many cars I've seen burning on the side of the road that aren't electric?
Yeah.
And it's annoying. I mean, they are a little bit more, like if they get to catch on fire, it could be a little bit more dangerous. Even at the Twin Towers, that parking deck is over there by the city hall. The insurance company is starting to like tighten down on even allowing EVs into parking decks.
Really?
And I own a garage in there. And so I'm curious how they're going to tell me I can't park my car in the garage I own. So I don't know how that's all going to work out, but it's just annoying, man. And also they're super expensive now too. All that stuff. It's crazy to see these electric trucks come out and they're like $100,000.
Oh, I know.
Like they used to be a Lamborghini, man. Yeah. It's like, what the heck?
I know. Well, and what's funny, you talk about reputation and, mm-hmm. and like customer facing visual. So we have a Chevy Silverado EV
mm-hmm.
For our operations manager. At the end of the day, it made sense. It starts and ends at the same place every day. Like we have a charger at a shop. I mean, it's super nice. Brand new. I mean, I don't hide these things. I mean, brand new, they're 70 some thousand, 75,000. Mm-hmm. We got like a GM demo unit mm-hmm. that GM used, and we got it for mid 40s.
Wow.
But like perception wise, yeah. They're like, oh, you're driving this $75,000, $80,000 right. truck. No, like, yeah, if you went and bought brand one, you know, a brand new one off the lot, but being smart. In my world is mm-hmm. You know, you figure out how you make these things fit, you know? And so, I mean, for $40,000 or $45,000 for basically a brand new truck, that's mm-hmm. a pretty fair deal. And
it's an asset for the business, right? It's utilized, you know, same thing. It's like, you see all the art around the office and whatnot. Like it costs good money to do all that, but it's at a time where we could, you know, expend that. It also makes it feel good in here. Like one of the best things I have is guys that come in to do schoolwork if they're in college or just sit around. And like, I wanted to make a space that could facilitate learning and just somewhere people wanted to hang out, you know?
Yeah. Well, and it's funny you bring that up because one section of our business is plant leasing. We have an mm-hmm. entire plant building and we, lease plants to businesses, interior plants. We go and take care of them. You know, every plant in the hospital I own and we take care of and maintain. And you speak to that environment, right? That mm-hmm. it creates. And kind of what we've been putting out there and promoting more and more of is plants and natural light mm-hmm. and all of that brings the mood up, right? Mm-hmm. You know, if you go into an office that's completely sterile,
yeah,
with nothing on the walls and nothing around and all that, it gives a cold vibe. But if you come into an environment that has things on the walls, has plants, mm-hmm. you know, it feels livelier, you know.
Every CPA office feels like a dungeon.
Yes. We do. We have two accounting offices that have plants in them in the area, and they're one of our, I'll call it, target markets of
good, you know, bring some light to those offices, man.
Yeah,
every one of them. I'm like, oh,
yeah. It's but you're right. It's all those things, right? It's mm-hmm. and especially, you know, I brought up COVID a lot, but it's the big return to the office. Mm-hmm. You know, there's still a lot of people that are not in the office full time.
That's very true.
I mean, I worked straight through COVID, and mm-hmm. I was either in the office or out in the field, or mm-hmm. so I didn't have that. But that isolation tactic, you know, the isolation feeling they had when they were just at home and now mm-hmm. kind of getting back out of that comfort zone and going back into the office. Well, your normal office didn't have, mm-hmm. you know, they don't have it's not your home. Right. And so I've noticed a lot of companies trying to kind of bring home to work almost, you know, as that added incentive. So I know Caterpillar's done some pretty big initiatives that have been cool to see, anything from outdoor seating to bringing plants into the office to, you know, cafeteria food's a little nicer. That's more home cooked, you know, the warm feel. And I think it does make a difference.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah, it does. It does. I mean, our shop as well, super nice in there. People just want to go somewhere they can enjoy and not that just bad, stale environment or that very corporate cubicle desk feel, which is, you know, times have changed. And it's crazy that we're still adjusting from COVID, you know, five years ago. And, you know, we were 2 years in business, year and a half into business when that happened. And that was like just the biggest kick in the balls. It's like, what in the heck? Because you can't go talk to people. Like, luckily, we were considered an essential business, but still the communication and the unknowing of, or the worry of what's going to happen next for people, it's hard to get them to make a decision based on what their power cost is.
Yeah, you know? Exactly. And, you know, that was a huge challenge. And I think you guys, you made some really key moves at the right time. And that created a lot of opportunity for the Sun Collectors and for the Central Illinois area. And, you know, I think it kind of propelled you guys up towards the top right away.
Yeah, community is everything. When we started getting involved with a lot of charities and things like that, like, people build you up. You know, a lot of them don't even have solar. And I started joking around with some of the people with charities, and I'm like, I'm not donating any more money until you get solar.
Yeah.
Like, really, 4 years into this, I'm like, well, you do it out of the kindness of our heart, but it'd be cool if somebody went solar over there.
Yeah. One of your people. You
just
know.
One of them. Just
in the end, it'll help you out.
Yeah, man.
Yeah, that's, I mean, community partnerships and partnerships in general. I really do not like the one way deals. I don't like, you know, at the end of the day, it's a transaction. It's it's goods, services, monetary value, trading back and forth. But if it's a one way street in my world, where, you know, you don't build that partnership with us, it's lowest bidder every year. You don't really care what's been done.
Right.
It's like, those are the things that we shy away from. And I know some people are put in that spot for corporate, whatever, you know, if they have other certain requirements, but
somebody's making a decision. That's where I land. I'm like, there's somebody up here moving the cogs. It's like,
you know, and we've really tried to make that effort of who is the decision maker, right? You know, we will talk to anyone and everyone, but at the end of the day, we want to shake hands and talk to the person that is signing off on this so that they understand and know what we are about.
Absolutely. Yeah. Commercial is a whole different beast. Just trying to get to the right person at the right time. And they're always running a business, so they're always rapid. You got to be quick to the point. But we've been doing a lot more commercial too. I think it's just, you got to.
Yeah.
You got to start expanding into that space just to stay alive. You know, there's only so many people you can help out. And the residential market's a little bit more, you know, volatile when it comes to people.
Well, and that's what we've done is, you know, diversification of services and of,
yeah, the crazy
clients.
Services you do. Do you do like lights and everything too for Christmas decorations? Or
we don't really do exterior lights on houses. There's a few companies in the area that have kind of, they were heavy in that market. Our big, you know, holiday decor is artificial trees inside businesses, offices, hospitals, corporate environments.
I'm going into your shop and seeing all the Christmas trees. I'm like, wow, this is wild. That's a wild thing to think about because they don't want to store it.
Yeah.
I got a whole room over in the other office just full of everything.
Yeah, I got about 7,000 square feet of warehouse space that is just Christmas and Christmas trees.
That's wild. So you got any big expansions or anything huge coming up in next year?
Without spilling the beans too much, we're in the process. We just acquired a painting business, so we're in the painting business now.
Wow.
So that's kind of the freshest one. We've got two more that are in the works in totally different lines of business than we're in right now. That'll hopefully be announced sometime in the first quarter of next year. And then there's still one hanging out there that we're slowly working on, and in due time hopefully it'll hit, and that'll probably be, you know, a year or two out.
That's wild. Well, I got some sheetrock needs to be cleaned up.
Yeah. So, you know, and that's really the big news for us. And at that's the end wild. Of the day, some people have come to me and
been like, man, you're nuts. Why do you keep taking over businesses or adding businesses? And, you know, I do know I am a little nuts and a little crazy, but
ambitious, man. It's just wired different. Yeah, you can't stop it.
I can't. And it comes down to the people, right? Uh-huh. What if there isn't someone to take over these entities, to build these entities, to keep the people that work for them in Peoria, like what's going to happen?
Absolutely.
And that's really my driving force. All of them that we've acquired have been owners retiring out, and no one to take them over.
Do you usually do seller financing, or are you bankrolling it yourself? Or how do you usually do the acquisition?
It depends. Of the four we've done so far, two of them have been seller financed and two of them have just been bankrolled.
Yeah.
The next two will probably be, well, one of them for sure will be seller financed. Mm-hmm. It works out in the end for them. You put them on a short, you figure out the best deal. You put it on a shorter repayment plan. Yep. It helps them mitigate some tax liability, usually of an upfront payment, and helps you kind of, you know, stretch it out where you can use the cash flow of the business to pay for the business, which is what's made a lot of these possible.
Absolutely.
So, yeah.
Do you just do asset purchase agreements? Because you're talking about keeping the longevity of the company alive, but you're not keeping the same brand, are you? Like, you're just buying the assets and the employees and keeping them in business?
Yeah, pretty much. There's been a mix of both. Mm-hmm. A couple of the acquisitions have come under the Wilson Services umbrella. Mm-hmm. The next two will not be necessarily under the Wilson Services name. They have their own independent names that we're not going to take over the exact entity, but you know, it might stay similar or close just for customer recognition. But yeah, usually it's just asset purchases. Client lists, I always say, are hard to put value to in this world. Like,
yeah, that's very true.
There's not a lot of value, and there is and there isn't, you know, contracts, there's value there, but right. If it's just a list of names and nothing solidified, it's kind of hard to
absolutely
put a value to it.
If we probably have 50,000 leads that we've gotten over the years, people were submitting email forms and this, that, and the other. It's like, they're not worth much if you can't do anything with them. But luckily, if they, you know, just getting more better with marketing and sending emails and following up with people. Like, I have to give a lot of credit to my team. That party last night was just amazing, and they do such a good job of, you know, getting people, answering the phone quickly, making sure people are contacted, because that's everything. And we run into that same thing you're talking about earlier, like, oh, I need three more, you know, solar designs, and then we'll go in first, and then somebody might not show up, and then the last guy just comes in there and just goes a whole different direction. There's so much ignorance surrounding, like, just the sales reps out there. It's not education forward or anything like that. So there's like, here's your numbers, and they don't explain anything. Or there's a couple out there that just talk crap to try to get the business, and it's just the worst,
man. Yeah, I mean, you bring up an interesting point of sales tactics, right? You know, and
it's rough out there.
I think, yeah, I mean, people get sick of certain sales tactics, you know, and so you come in with like this cautious approach sometimes. Like, you don't want to get labeled as, you know, so like, you talk about the bad connotation around solar. I feel like sales in general sometimes gets this bad connotation, and it can be tough to break it, you know, and how do you differentiate yourself from all the other salespeople?
Yeah. I love a good salesman, man. It's easy enough. We just come in, talk, you know, be personable. And, but there's definitely some bad ones, and it's unfortunate. It's unfortunate for people, because come out of COVID, we need that communication, and no one wants to feel like they're getting sold. So it's, you know, just manipulating people.
Yep. Yeah. You don't want to feel like you're getting something shoved down your throat.
Yeah. We had just heard from an old lady. She just got solar installed from a leasing company, and the guy came in there talking about how he's struggling to feed his family and all this crap. I'm like, I know what that guy was making. Like, I'm like, there's no way. He just brings up the SAP story just to get the old lady to sign a 30-year contract. And it's like, Lord, man. Yeah. Some people just don't have a conscience. But luckily, there's people like us in the community that try to keep helping push it forward.
Exactly.
Well, you got anything you want to plug, my friend, while we're wrapping up here?
Oh, boy. Plug being a good person. I mean, I don't know. That's my plug. At the end of the day, I said it from, you know, I say it till I'm blue in the face. It doesn't matter what line of work you're in. It doesn't matter who you're dealing with. It doesn't matter whether you're buying, selling, you know, leasing, helping somebody out. Just be a good person. Be an honest person. Keep your neighbor in mind. Be respectful. And at the end of the day, it will all work out.
What a right? shameless plug, man. That's a good one.
Like, that's all I'm asking for.
Absolutely. Well, this has been with Wilson Services. Obviously, you heard him speak. He's a great guy, and hopefully somebody out there will hear this and either go solo or we'll hit you up for some services, man, because you guys are doing a lot, and I'm proud of you guys for what you do for the community, and I know it's greatly appreciated by a lot of people. So it's been a pleasure having you on the podcast, and we'll see you guys next time.
We'll see you.